So this morning, I just wanted to do a little something different, and or not something different, but just something that's been on my mind and my heart for, I guess, the last couple of weeks. And we've talked about it in various forums and stuff, but just with what's going on in the world today, you know, amongst other things regarding COVID, you know, we talked about how we've heard it in here and other arenas that the enemy would love to bring division through COVID, right? And our viewpoints on it. And I believe through our prayer, I mean, I think we have committed ourselves to praying and asking the Lord to guard us from that. And I believe the Lord in large part has done that for us. I mean, I just see this wonderful unity in our body and a care and a love for one another and a respect for one another and honoring one another. And so now we've got this other crisis that's coming, right? So it seems like the enemy says, you know, if I can't do it one way, then I'm going to do it another. I remember Pastor Lee, when we were talking about spiritual warfare before, you know, he talked about just like we would in any war or battle, you know, that the enemy has strategies, but he has counter strategies, right? So when he starts one way and it's not working, then there's another way to go after it. And so, you know, this current crisis is the same thing. And if you're like me, you know, when this thing starts and if you got your social media accounts and you read news on some basis or whatever, then your own thoughts start to wrap around this thing, and you consciously or unconsciously, you begin to take sides and whatever sides those may be. And so it just begins to bombard us. And I've seen, you know, one of the things that struck me early on in this was not what was going on in the world, but what was going on in the church. And I just saw so many of my friends, organizations that I love and support, Christian organizations, starting to just throw into the, you know, and just kind of, it seemed kind of aimlessly. It seemed like they were just, I wouldn't know how to describe it, and I want to judge what was the intention of their heart. Maybe it was good. But it just seemed to be adding fuel to the fire. And so I was watching these things, and then the Lord just began to deal with me and my own heart and where I was. But I believe, and in some ways, you know, when that starts, it'll drive you to consume more, right? You'll want to read more. You'll want to, and so it can build on itself. But it just seemed like, well, this is another way that the enemy's going to work to come in, even in this body right here, that he's going to work to come in and bring division, much less the church as a whole and our nation as a whole. We must seek the Lord to keep us unified through this as well. And then in doing that, I would just ask us to remember some things in addition to the overarching fact that this is truly a spiritual battle being waged in the heavens. And it's a spiritual battle. It's being waged for individuals. You and I as individuals, it's being waged for our communities, and it's being waged for our churches and our nation as a whole. And when you think about that, I don't want to spend time on that, but when you think about that, I think about when Elisha's servant, right, and he goes out and he sees the armies of God, and he actually, the Lord opens his eyes and he's able to see the armies of God and what's about to happen, how the Lord... And I know that's only one instance in Scripture where we see that, and yet it seems to me that we also see Daniel, right? So Daniel, he didn't see it, but the archangel Gabriel tells him, this is what's happening, this is what's going on. And so we only see those a couple of times in Scripture, so a lot of times it's easy to just, but I believe that's happening every moment of every day. It's a nonstop thing, and it's a real spiritual battle. And I, you know, maybe you read what were those books, Piercing the Darkness or whatever. Y'all are probably too young for those books. They're old, but you know, he talks about all. He's trying to paint this picture, and whether you imagine it like that or not, it is as Paul said in his. There is a war constantly going on. There are princes and principalities of the heavens, and they are always battling and doing battle, and so that's going on. So we just see an earthly evidence of that. That's what we see. We see an earthly outpour of that here, but that's where it's truly being waged. So I want us to keep that in mind, but then I want us to just think about some things today, or I want to bring some things out for us to think about, and then look at one thing specifically that God really dealt with me on that I believe he would want to do in all of us if it's there. But the first thing is that according to the Word of God, there is none good. And it doesn't matter if you're white, black, Asian, Hispanic. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what group you associate. There is none good according to the Word of God. It's Christ and it's Christ alone. The sin that produces this strife resides within us all. Though on the surface it may seem so, there is no one man or group or ideology or political party that has caused this strife, no matter what period in history. I mean, this has been occurring since time began. And it's easy. It's easy at these, and that's just one of the things. In these times, it's easy. I don't care, again, it doesn't matter which side you're on, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But it's easy to look at someone. You know, we always go back to Hitler, right? Man, Hitler was just a man. He was only playing on what was inside of us all, right? The enemy was using a man like Hitler or the men that have gone before him or the men that are here now, just using their pawns. And they just play on, and the enemy just plays on what's already in our hearts, what's already here. And so don't get distracted by, well, it's them or it's that group or that's just a distraction. That's not the way it is. It's not the way it works. And I'm not just talking about what produces itself in blatant racism, but even those unconscious and often hidden biases and prejudices. And that's something the Lord began to deal with me on, and I'll talk about that more in a minute. But, you know, it's not just, it doesn't just reveal itself in you know, these extreme acts that we see. It's the hidden things as well. That's where the enemy would work. That's where he would find a foothold and work. Depending on how you or others view the situation, there could be two or there could be more sides to this current crisis and debate. Regardless of how many sides you see, if you choose any one of these sides, you'll be wrong. And that's just flat out it. I don't care. I don't care what side you see out there. If you choose a side that's right now, you're going to be wrong. If you try to align with, or, you know, as we'll say in today, if we try to see multiple sides, right? If I try to see their side, or I try to see their side, just for the sake of unity, you'll be wrong. A friend of ours in Lafayette, a minister named Jimmy Tate, he's been saying this for years as he disciples young men and women, him and his wife. But he always has this saying that he just keeps repeating over and over, and it's so poignant now. But he's always told them, it's been kind of their battle cry, is take God's side. That's always his battle cry. And that's the only side in this equation that you can take and not be on the wrong side. And I'm not saying it's about being right and wrong, but God's side is the only side that works. It's the only side we should be on. What is God's side? Well, that's defined by Scripture and by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. We don't need to figure it out for ourselves. We don't need to think about, well, what would Jesus do during this time? You know, we don't need to try and stir that up in our minds. It's either going to be revealed to us in Scripture where God stands, and I'm not going to go through all that today because I'm not debating the merits of what's, you know, the sides that are out there or what's going on. Or it's going to be something that the Holy Spirit begins to speak to us and move us to do and to act and how He would do that. It doesn't conform to the side that this world would create. I can tell you that. Whatever God's side is, it's not going to conform to any side that's already here on earth. It's not. It's always going to be other. It always has been other. When Jesus walked this earth, He was other. He was other than everything that was on this earth. He never sought to align Himself with any one side or any one party or any one group that walked this earth. He was only aligned with the Father. That's all He wanted to do, was align Himself with the Father. I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what the Father says. That's all I do. I'm not on anybody's side down here. And so it'll always be other. It will be for the sake of the kingdom and the gospel of Jesus. It always will. If you're on God's side, that's where it's going to end up. It's going to be for the sake of His kingdom, and it's going to be for the sake of the gospel. I believe what Paul did and what he spoke. I believe what William Wilberforce did and spoke. What Dietrich Bonhoeffer did and what he spoke. What Martin Luther King Jr. did and spoke. While bold in speech and powerful in practical action, I believe it was because they were on God's side. And it was for the sake of the kingdom and the sake of the gospel. And we shouldn't forget that. It's, you know, those guys get lifted up all the time by the world, right? They get lifted up even by the world. And they say, look at what they did. Look at what they, and they would seek to make what they did just the goodness of man that was coming out of them, right? That there's some good in this world. There's some good in us. And look what was generated. But those men were moved by God. And they were moved by God because they were on God's side. They wanted God to do something. They heard God. They heard God speaking to them. They saw the word of God. And they said, Lord, what is it? And they began to move and to act it doesn't matter if they were preaching the gospel all the time when they did it, but it was for the kingdom's sake. It was for the gospel's sake. And so I don't want the world to confuse that for us. I don't want the world to mix that up for us. They weren't just working against something, which is what sometimes there's a bent in us to do that, or we get stirred up. That's what the world wants to do, is stir us up to work against something. Let's be against something. They weren't working against something. They were working for something, and it was for the kingdom of God. And so for Jesus Christ and his gospel, that was not their motivation, was just to be against something, to put something down, but it was to exalt Christ. It was to bring the kingdom of God into this earth in some form or fashion. And it made me think about 1 Corinthians chapter 9, when Paul says, and this ties into a lot of this, but Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:19, for though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. That was Paul's driving force. That's what Paul was going after. And I think about that, you know, even as we go out, because I want that in my heart during this time. I want that to be my vision, is that God, for the sake of your gospel, do this in me. For the sake of your kingdom, when we go out to those Capitol steps on Saturday, I want to have God's side. I want to be out there for the sake of the gospel. I don't want to be out there for it because my flesh would say, my flesh is going to pat me on the back for standing up, for you know, all the things that you would think about. And that's what our flesh would do. That's what our soul would do. But for the sake of the gospel, Paul said, I do all these things for the sake of the gospel. And the call by those in the world, and even many in the church, as I talked about, you know, I've had some friends say this. You know, I've seen posts where they say, if you know, from Christians, that, you know, they say things like, well, if you're a Christian, then read this, or if you're born again and you don't, well, then this, and well, if you're silent, well, then I forget how they say that one, but something like, if you don't say anything, then I don't remember how that goes, but they want you to speak out, right? That's the big thing. Speak out. I keep reading that everywhere. Speak out. And guys, we see it in a lot of ways, and not the least of which are social media zingers, where they just throw them out there, you know, pow, pow, shooting people down, pow, pow, speak out, this out, speak out. Or lengthy diatribes where they're just ranting and raving, and they honestly, they, a lot of them sound like madmen. I'm talking about believers. I'm talking about believers. I'm not talking about the world. And we can't be that. Don't speak out. Cry out. Cry out. That's what we're called to do. So I don't want to speak out. I want to cry out. Cry out to the only one, Jesus Christ, who can do anything about it, both in my own heart and in the heart of others. That's the only way it's going to work. And if the Holy Spirit chooses to speak out, as they would say, or act through you or act through us, then I can assure you it will be for the sake of His kingdom and the gospel and nothing else. That's how He's going to move. That's how He's going to work. He will not seek to prove one side wrong or the other right. He will only exalt Jesus and point to Him and what He says is right, meaning what Jesus says as right, that we might see the need for Him to change our hearts and see that He has the ability to do so. And so don't get caught up in that. Don't get caught up in the feeling this need to just speak out. You know, Pastor Lee was saying it during the whole COVID crisis, right? The earth right now does not need men to speak. The world needs God to speak. And if God hadn't spoken to us, if He hasn't put in us, then just don't say it. Just keep your mouth closed. If he's not speaking it, then it's not going to do any good. It's only going to cause harm, no matter how good your intentions might be. There's nothing good that can come out of it because there's nothing good in us. Pastor Lee said something very true the other day. I don't remember if it was Sunday or Wednesday. I don't remember when it was. But he said, justice served will not heal this nation. And though we might think it to be a starting point, you know, you might say, well, yeah, but at least that's a starting point, right? I mean, it's justice is served. That's a starting point. But it's not the right starting point, I believe. I believe that the starting point for us is healing, for healing in this nation, for ourselves and in this nation, is a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. And that's not their hearts out there, right? It's not that we just stand around and we wait and say, well, Lord, heal all their hearts. Bring them, Lord, bring them low, but let it begin in us. Let it begin right here, that we have a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. Why is a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart? Why is this the starting point? Because God will not refuse these. That's what He says. I will not refuse them. In Psalm 138:6, and I'll read this from two different versions, He says, For though the Lord is high, He regards the lowly, but the haughty He knows from afar. Or in another version, He says, though the Lord is great, He cares for the humble, but He keeps His distance from the proud. And so when we begin with a broken and contrite heart, then we invite the Lord to come in. We invite the Lord to invade our hearts. And He draws near to us. And if He draws near to us, and I'm thinking about what Nick was saying, then if He draws near to us and He fills us and He's in us and He and His kingdom and His gospel is what driving us and the Holy Spirit is what moving in us, then when we walk out those doors, we will walk out with the power. And it won't be tainted. It won't be tainted and marred by the things that are hidden in us. It won't be tainted and marred by the things that we think, by the things we think are wise, the things that we think will do good or do or help in some way. And so one of the passages that I just, and look, this is because the Lord's been dealing with me. I want to be clear. It's not a case of I've been looking out there and going, God, these people are wrong and they're idiots. I'm stirred up. I get emotional. I get fired up. I begin to want to run to this side or run to that side or correct this guy and correct that guy. And I'm stirred up like that. So that's why God, in one of the passages He brought me to was James chapter 3, the end of James. And this is not, the reason I went there is because I began, just as I was praying, the verse about what is it that caused quarrels among you in James chapter 4. That's what came into my mind. And I was like, yeah, what is it, God? You know, and so I went back to James 4 and I was reading that. But then I backed up into 3 and I just thought this verse, it just really began to speak to me about what's going on. But James 3 in verse 13, he says, I'm going to just read through it first and then we'll come back through. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness, or in another translation, gentleness, which I like, in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, he's talking to us, right? This is not to the world. He's talking to us. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, and I would expand that to whatever else it may be that is contrary to God, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And so as I just read this, I began to just, and look, there's some things in here that are way deeper. As I've been praying over this verse, I'm still asking God, explain this to me. Tell me what you mean by this. But just in my simple mind and what He's given to me so far, when He says, When he says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. If your heart's not right, and I don't care if it's selfish ambition or jealousy, whatever it is that's in us right now, then be honest in bringing it before the Lord. Or as he reveals it to you, be honest. So don't be false to the truth is what so he's saying. Don't try and cover it up. Don't try and hide it. And what does John promise us? John promises us, he says, if we confess our sin, right? We walk in the light as he is in the light. It doesn't mean we're walking perfect. Doesn't mean we're walking perfectly holy. It means that we're walking and we're saying, Lord, shine the light. Shine it on me all day, every day. And then when he shines it and when he reveals something, then we say, you're right, Lord. There it is. Thank you. Then he cleanses us. But don't be false to the truth. Don't reject it. And I'm going to tell you, we as believers, and me especially in this time, even if it's unconscious, we'll hide it. We'll cover it up. We'll justify it. We'll do all kinds of things. And it could be because of the way we're brought up. It could be because of how we're influenced by the culture around. I don't know what it is. But some of these things, the things that would drive what's going on right now in our world, are some of the things we're the quickest to harbor, the quickest to defend, the quickest to say, well, there's a reason for that, God. And he says, don't be false to the truth. In verse 15, he says, this is not the wisdom. And I think that's interesting because it's still wisdom. James is not saying it's not wisdom, and it's not going to look like wisdom to everybody else, but he says, this is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly. And then I love what he says, unspiritual, because we would think, well, we're still being spiritual. You can put all the spiritual words you want to in it. You can put all the Bible verses you want to in it. But if it's not because you've been with God and God has put something in you, then James might argue that that's unspiritual and it's demonic. And that's crazy when you think about that. And you think about what's going on right now. We talk about this war, right? If we believe it's a spiritual battle, then even the demons are working in this wisdom, as it would be. What is called wisdom, the demons are working in it. They are wanting to move us by wisdom is what they want to do. But thank God. Well, then he says in verse 16, he says, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder. And that word means instability. A state of disorder, disturbance, and confusion. Do we see that right now? Is that not rampant in our nation, even in the body of Christ in so many ways? And every vile practice. And don't we see that? I mean, it's pouring out of us. It's pouring out of everyone right now, every vile practice. But here's the greatness of God. But the wisdom from above is first pure, and remember that word, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Isn't that what we really want right now? Isn't that what we want to be sown in the earth? Isn't that what we want to occur when we're out there on Saturday? These are the fruits that we want to come out of this. To be pure and peaceable and gentle, open to reason. That's awesome. Open. So it doesn't mean that we say, well, I'm on God's side and I'm not going to listen. No, I believe that says listen. Listen to the broken hearts. Listen to what's going on. But then don't answer it with this other wisdom that's not from above. But be asking God, Lord, give me that. But listen, we're open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial. And guys, I got news for you. We will never be impartial apart from the Holy Spirit in us. And not just the Holy Spirit in us, but opening our hearts to God and saying, search me. Find it out, what's in me, and take it out. Remove it from me. And sincere. That's what we want. Isn't this what is lasting? Isn't this what lasts? And what, or better yet, who is this wisdom from above? Isn't this Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, as spoken in Proverbs? I think back to Proverbs chapters 1 through 3, and we see wisdom personified. And you see in Proverbs 1 through 3, you see sometimes the very things it says are the things that Christ was, that he did. I mean, he embodied it. He did it on earth when he came. And so wisdom is not just a thing to be grasped here. It's not just a thing you're going to get just by scooping up the Word of God and reading it a lot. No, it's him. It's him. It's the Holy Spirit in us. It's the Word of God in us. And And so, but it's a living thing. And then what he ends with, what James ends with, and a harvest. This is what that wisdom from above is going to bring. The other thing, the last thing, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And isn't that what God has been dealing with us about lately? Isn't that what he's been leading us into? He's been moving so much on us about the harvest that's out there. And he wants, by this wisdom, a harvest of righteousness sown in peace by those who make peace. That's what comes out of this. It's not just peace. It's not just that we all, you know, the world starts singing kumbaya and we get along for another year or two and then it blows right back up again. Souls. We harvest this field that is white. And so that's what I want. And that's where God has really been dealing with me about personally. He has stopped me and he has allowed me to see the unconscious and yet so powerful biases and prejudices in my own heart. You know, just as God began to deal with me about this, and it's so clear when he stops me and he slows me down, it's so clear. If I see a, you know, a black man walking down the street that's dressed in a certain way, maybe acting a certain way, those biases and prejudices instantaneously shut off any opportunity for the Holy Spirit to speak to me and say, I want you to go up to that man. I want you to minister to him. I want you, whatever the Holy Spirit may, it's done. It's over. It could be a white man of the same thing. If he's dressed a certain way, looks a certain way, it's over. If I see, and I'm going to be honest, if I see a group of gay men, especially if they're acting out and they're flaunting, man, the biases and prejudice, and I don't do it purposefully. I don't think about it purposefully, but it shuts it down. I would turn and walk away from them. I wouldn't even want to get close. And it just shuts off the Holy Spirit instantaneously. When these kick in, they immediately block any chance of me hearing what the Holy Spirit may be wanting to do. It is a hard, fast hindrance to the gospel. There's no way around it. It is a dam to the outflow of the love of Christ in and through my life. There is no way that that man, that woman, that group, there's no way that they will be able to receive anything through my life that God would intend for them. And it's not because God's not there. It's not because God doesn't love them. It's not because God is not actively pursuing them every day, desiring them to come into the kingdom. It's because I, his child, his warrior, his servant, his witness, has, whether consciously or not, has allowed something in my heart to shut it off and to just say, well, that's where my fence ends. That's where my kingdom ends, right there. And I can't get outside of that. And I don't want that. It's broken my heart as I just think about that. I don't want to be colorblind, as some would say. I don't want to just love someone for who they, you know, for who or how they are. That's what the world would tell us. Be colorblind or love them for who they are. I don't want that either. That's just my flesh, my soul. I want to love them because they are made in the image of God. I want to see God. And this is where that word pure back in James 3 has struck me again. It's something that reminds us of so many, so much. The pure in heart see God. I want to have a pure heart so that when I'm walking down the street, when I'm walking through the mall, when I'm in the grocery store, wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, that I see God. I see God and I see what God's doing and I see what he wants to do. Lord, give me a pure heart. The Lord used a dream to Peter. He gave a dream to Peter to reveal and overcome the biases and prejudices in his heart. That's how he did it. That's how he had to do it. And even then, Peter was like, what? You know, huh? But God did it. He's used this. And maybe God's not giving us a dream right now, but I believe if we would allow him, he would use this time right now. And everything that's welling up within our hearts, when you feel it, when you read those things on social media, when you read an article and you feel your heart set ablaze and you know it's not God, and then stop and say, that's your dream. That's your dream right there. The Lord's saying, where's that coming from? Is that coming out of me? Is that of my spirit? Or is that of you? Is that of your heart? We don't need a dream right now to tell us. God is using this if we will allow Him. And I would say, don't just allow Him, but do as David did and ask Him, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Because this is it. This is it. It's the last hours. It's the last days. And the world is in upheaval. And God would want to move so mightily right now. When the darkness is at its darkest, would the light not be at its brightest if it would shine through us? And so don't just allow Him to. Don't just stand back and say, well, if it's there, God, or just hope that it shows up. Ask Him, is this in me? What's in me? Search my heart, God. Know my thoughts, Lord. All that has been happening and all that the Lord has been speaking to us about, and what He will be speaking, because he's burdened the heart of Felix and of the staff, and they're going to be pouring out all the more about reaching the lost. The Lord is moving us. He is moving us to this. So whether He's been talking to us about the end times that we're in, or talking to us about reaching the lost, or even Nick Godshaw this weekend, as the Lord is trying to stir us to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, not just in this church, but out there in this world. God's message is very clear to us, and He's preparing us. He's preparing us for and is leading us to what should be the greatest harvest before the rapidly approaching end. That's what He's doing right now. With regard to this matter, let there be nothing in us, division, hidden prejudice, or anything else that will hinder His work that He has prepared. And I would throw into that this coming Saturday, that even before this Saturday, we don't just walk into it like we got a great event coming up and let our souls tell us just because we show up and lock arms and hug all of our brothers and sisters that somehow that's it. Look, the Holy Spirit's hovering. He's hovering over the chaos. There's so much more He wants to do. But let us walk into Saturday with pure hearts. Let us walk into Saturday with the wisdom of God. Let us walk every day with this in us. And just let the Lord begin to... There's no time. We don't have years for God to work it out. Maybe we do. It doesn't feel like it. Let me say it that way. It doesn't feel like we have years for God to work this out of us. For God to... So let's stop now. Take time in your days. Take time. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And let's ask God, take it from me now. Because I can't afford a day to go by where I walk by another man, or I walk by another woman, or I walk by another group, or I shut my heart off to someone else. I can't afford it. It's too late. The time's too short. And so I don't mean this as a tag. This is just something the Lord's been dealing my heart with. And I don't want to be, because the promise of God is what He'll do in it. What He'll do in it. He'll reveal it. And He'll give us His wisdom. He has given us His Holy Spirit. He'll do all these things in us. I want us to be encouraged, but I do want us to be introspective. I do want us to allow the Lord to search our hearts. And so, Father, I thank You for this time, Lord. And God, I don't want this to be a condemning thing at all. God, it's freeing for me. It is. It's really freeing for me these last week and a half, God. I thank You. I thank You that You come and speak to us. I thank You, God, that even as James says in this wisdom, that's how You do it, in gentleness. You come in gentleness, God. You come and You work these things out in us, Lord. And I thank You for that. Thank You for doing this, Lord. Set us all free. Set us all free, God. And these things that would tempt us, God, these things that the way the world would work, Lord, let us not be caught in those things. Let us not be caught in the snare, Lord. But let us have pure hearts. Let us have renewed minds, that we might walk and live for the sake of Your kingdom and the sake of the gospel. With You, Holy Spirit, have an absolute freedom. Not just having freedom, but for us actively crying out to You to use us, to move us, to change us, and to change this nation, to change this world, to save all that You can, God, before the last moment. that's what we want, God. We want to be your army, your people, Lord. And we want to be free. We want to be of pure heart. We want to be of godly and heavenly wisdom, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. Go with us now. Lord, fill this sanctuary this morning. And let us, even now, as we leave this Sunday school, let us go and love one another, God. Pouring out the love of Christ to everyone that would walk in these doors, Lord. And then let us receive what you have prepared to speak to us this morning, God. Continue to work. We love you and we thank you. In Christ's name, amen.